also use the same mechanism I gave you the paper today to understand aircraft investigation, aircraft accident investigations, to understand what caused the crash. For example, there are times when the crash is caused by the heart of the pilot. He was on a cardiovascular medicine and the heart shut down. After that, I was also doing what we call forensic drug test from urine samples of pilots and everybody. It's a very important work because it is used for evidentiary purpose in courts. The paper I gave him right now is a prestigious award in the world that was given by CAP, the College of American Pathologists of Northfield, Illinois. They do peer review in the laboratory. The work you are doing, can it be presented to court as evidence? So they were looking at these things. Awards were there. But during that time, hallelujah, Amen. Let us begin to talk right now. During that time, in Israel, first of all, he appeared in a dream. And he called me 3 times by voice. He called me 3 times by voice and I refused. I told him, no way. I have spent my life doing this. And if I go to serve you, I know I have no salary. I am not nothing. I refused. In Chicago, the reason for running from Chicago, from the UIC Medical Center, is because he appeared in the house. Hallelujah. Ran to New Jersey. In New Jersey, everything was now settled. In surgery, you are doing well now, you are beginning to settle now. He appeared again in a dream. He said, come, serve me. And he was saying, God pray for these people. I told him, no, I have no doctorate in theology. Refused. Then, he said, if I refuse, he would hurt me. Hallelujah. Driving on the Garden State Parkway. One morning, all of a sudden, the car turned down. And he broke my collarbone. The left hand collarbone. Now, in the hospital bed that night, he appeared again in a dream and said, you cannot run away from me. In Oklahoma, at the Aerospace Medical Institute, and there are new things that were so interesting there. For example, aerospace tourism. I was interested in knowing how come the old people get paid $20 million and then from Ukraine they are shot into space for tourism. But some of them are on medication, right? Because of age. And there is what we call bone density. The bone density changes. It affects your red blood cell production. Now listen to this. On the 3rd of July, the year 2003, he made up his mind, I must follow him. And he walked right into my house then. The house of the world is what you can call it. Everybody maintain your peace. The peace of the Lord. I am coming out the bottom of the issue. How did it come from aerospace medicine to finally speaking earthquakes? The coming of the Lord, the wedding rings. I have seen the host. I heard the voice of the Lord. He spoke with me in my voice, sending you places. How did it transition? That's what I'm talking about. So even the professors in this university and Moi and other universities may know that Jesus is an absolute necessity. Listen to me. He walked in that 3rd of July, 4th of July morning, 2003. What a gentleman. Stayed at the entrance to the bedroom. Did not enter. But the glory covered the door. Those of you listening by radio, the Egerton University has invited me to give a public lecture on how the Lord called me from when I was involved in cancer research, aerospace medicine, into now prophesying the coming of the Lord. John the Baptist has spoken with me, saying the things that no man has said. Listen to this, somebody. That 3rd of July night, and when I saw his glory at the door, then immediately I told him, Lord, if that is you, please take me with you. I don't know why I ever said such a thing. Somebody that was running away from the Lord, how could I say such a thing? He calls me to say it. And in the next moment I realized the glory had entered like a cloud in the bedroom. And immediately I jumped. It was as to take a breath. He had lifted me. I had left the ground. Until now, he has closed my mind until today. I don't know what happened between that bedroom and what I call the office in that house, where he left me. Again, he has closed it off, switched off. He lifted me into the 3rd room, and I walked back, panting. When I arrived there, the first thing I saw on the bed was the rod of God, the rod of Moses. Hallelujah. The second thing, when I looked at the wall like this, he put a slab. A transparent plastic slab. Those of you that work in radioactivity labs, you know plexiplastic. Plexiplastic, the shield. A transparent slab. And he wrote there Isaiah chapter 43, verse 11 and verse 1 in that order. And then he took another plastic, plexiplastic, transparent, and covered. It was written white. I can give a lecture on how Jehovah, he protects his word. He protects his own word. How much more do we need to protect his word? And when I read Isaiah 43, I read it loud here. He left me the message there. Isaiah 43 verses 11 and verse 1 in that order. Verse 11 says, I, even I, am the Lord, and apart from me there is no Savior. Finally, he was introducing himself formally to me, officially, that the one that has lifted you is the Lord. Now, many pastors who started helping me in America, I was running for help. He did not allow. He closed every door so that no man may lay his hand on me and defile me. Listen to this. I was so frustrated because for me, I needed help. And then one pastor called Pastor Jonathan Pound, meeting me frustrated one day, I tried to describe to him, and he said, this is what he said. Listen to me. Read it in that order. Because he wants you to read verse 11 to prepare you for verse 1. Verse 1 is your scripture. Verse 1 says, but now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have summoned you by name. Hallelujah. Let me repeat it. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Hallelujah. After this, what happened? That is the time when a university, a black school, a black university, meaning African American school, invited me to become chairman of the department. All of a sudden, now the big doors began to swim open. He says, come quickly, we need to make you chair of the department. There is also money here for bioterrorism research. Because they knew that I was doing such work, I could use receptors that you can put in a plane on glass slides. You can put in different spots on the plane, link them to computers, put them there as specific ligands. And when a bioterrorism agent hits it, you receive a hit. You can see on the computer which receptor has been hit. So you can evacuate the aeroplane from whichever side, depending on which is hit. They knew that I was involved in that work. At that time, the devil opens doors. Hallelujah. Amen. Everything is now opening for you at that time. I know some of you are listening and you're like, that is me he's talking about. And then, immediately by voice, he began to speak with me. How did he start? He first started by presenting the person of the Holy Spirit to me. That is the one that first sat down with me and spoke with me on what the Lord wants done. And when he came, he said, God tell these people to repent and prepare the way, for the kingdom of God is now near. Then I began to understand the calling. And later on, he started presenting more and more things about his coming, walking with me for 32 nights, consecutive nights, in the holy temple of the Lord in heaven. Every night he would start from where he stopped yesterday. And I knew he was on my right hand side. Until one day I said, Lord, can I see the person I'm walking with? And then that day, he moved closer and I saw the glorious white car. He moved it a little bit forward so I could see the glorious, the glow. It was tremendous. And he was showing me things in the temple of the Lord in heaven. Even how he wants to restore the house of the Lord on earth. Hallelujah. Amen. 32 consecutive nights. I began to write a book. I stopped. Inside the temple of the Lord in heaven, there are the inner holies of holies. There is tremendous compartmentation. There is a place where there is no praise. There is only worship. And he was showing me all these things. And every morning I wrote down. At times I woke up at 3, I wrote down. Then come one day again, he appeared with the rod of Moses again. At 3:26 in the morning. And he raised it like this above me. And he said by voice, look, take this. Let us go do it. And at that time, he presented the earth of the new covenant of the Lord in heaven. And on this side was Daniel, the prophet of the Lord. And on this other side is Moses, the servant of God, the friend of God. And next to Moses on the same side, right here is Elijah, the prophet of God. And the voice of the Lord said, today, I have my four prophets here. And you are the fourth prophet, and power has been given to you. And I remember 3:26. The bed shook physically. I jumped up. But the only thing is that from that day on, I began to know everything going to happen in the future all over the world. So that power, so surely that power was for the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. No wonder he put me on a trail to preach against money, human glory in the church, all these things. Listen to me. After that, in the month of April, the year 2004, he presented John the Baptist on my right hand side, and John the Baptist began to speak with me about the coming of the Lamb of God. And as John was speaking, he made me aware that the glory of the Lord ahead of us had the Father there paying attention to every letter of this conversation. John finished. John said, "Behold, this is the Lamb of God." And from the glory came a white, glorious white Lamb. He is so holy. Everything became more glorious. I became glorious. John the Baptist became glorious. And he came to the feet of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist released him to me. And I refused to touch him. I said, he is so holy, he is so pure, he is so glorious, I am not worthy of touching him. So he went like 3-4 feet ahead of me, then he came back to my feet, and the voice of the Father spoke. And he said, go on the four corners of the earth to repent, return to holiness, and prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. And I jumped up. I began to understand right away, from when I woke up right there, that that Lamb is our Lord Jesus. Now listen to me. After that, he started showing me the things to happen. That's why I could prophesy the Asia tsunami. That's why recently I went again to Indonesia preaching there, Jakarta, Medan, also in Surabaya. These are the main cities. Millions and millions of people. And I told them, the largest Islamic country in the world, that the Lord said there is going to be an earthquake when I come there. And when I came there, the earthquake took place. I also ran for my life with Fred. Where is he here? We were running for our lives. The swimming pools were doing like this, what? It was tremendous. Buildings were growing, this was growing, as if that is it, you're dying this time. And I preached it from that 5th of August, the year 2007, until the 8th of August in a suburb called Bogor. When at 10:35 I left the preaching and I told them, at midnight the judgment of the Lord always appears. And 4 minutes to midnight on that 8th of August, that massive 7.5 earthquake shook Jakarta. Little did I know that Jakarta had never been shaken at all. Came back here, wrote to the pastors, they are coming to the meeting in Kapkatet from Indonesia. Wrote them and said, watch out now, a big earthquake, a tsunami earthquake is coming to hit you. On the 19th morning of August, the year 2007. And then look at what happened on the 12th all the way to the 14th of September 2007. The massive record earthquakes, 6 record including 8.4. And then 60 aftershocks that brought down buildings. And I told them, repent from Islam. Repent from the Eastern religions. Repent in Christ Jesus. And prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. And I said, when these things happen, then you shall know that the Lord, he is God. And I am his servant. And a prophet of God has have walked among you. And it happened sharp. India, the same thing, the historic floods that swept the 35 million that marooned them. I want them in February when I was there, all the way to April, sent it in DVD. Look at what happened in August. Many things I know. Now there is going to be a collision. There is an asteroid coming to collide with the moon. And the particles are going to break there like fire. And they are going to fall in a country that loves football so much. And excellent in football. Excelente in Spanish. And that country, I have an idea where that country is. Next week we are heading to Argentina. I know it is Brazil, Argentina area there. These big things are going to take place. And then he showed me the rapture of the church. And then on the 1st of November last year, 2006, at 3 o'clock in the morning, he opened the sky and he presented two glorious golden wedding rings in the sky, at the entrance to heaven, in the sky. And the voice said, from today on, all authority in heaven, authority on earth, has been given to Christ Jesus. Listen to me. After that, the White House. And then on the 3rd of May, 3rd of May 2007, from India this year, at 5:38, opened heaven again and presented the golden clock in the sky, the clock that is 1 minute to midnight. Let me ask a question. What is the Lord speaking to the church by showing me the earthquakes, the floods, the planes that have been hit? They woke up in Iran. I've seen it. I see a plane, one wing is broken. What is the Lord speaking to the church? In the Bible, in the book of Matthew 24 and Luke 21, our Lord Jesus, he spoke when they asked him, when will you come back? And he said, you will see earthquakes. You let us read verse 8. Matthew 24, verses 4 to 8. Even as I'm bringing this ship towards the shore, I'm reading very fast. Matthew 24. Blessed are you that are listening to this. Let me tell you, let us clap to the Lord. What I did not understand was that the Lord orchestrated my life in the university, everything I was doing, he orchestrated it, even bring you to a place where you have seen money, such that one day when he calls you, no money can corrupt your heart. You can walk the way I'm walking without salary and serve him in purity, in holiness. Let somebody stand for the Lord. I thought I was living my life. Kumbe he said, I am going to catch up with you. And when I'll catch you, never again will the things of the world rob you away. That's why you wonder, why are the bishops falling to sexual sin? Why do they fall to the love of money, the big cars, the so-called fundraisings. Now there's a lot of campaigns going on in the country. They say to kule pesa za campaign kabla zijaisha. You'd wonder if you were a servant of Christ, the Son of the Living God, the Holy One of Israel, wouldn't you know that that will anger God? That means you are behaved like the world, you cannot even be the light of the world. I began to understand why. And the Lord today is looking for some professor here, some student here, some member of staff here, who can stand with him in holiness. Listen to the book of Matthew 24 verses 4 to 8. Look at what he says here. He says, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many." Verse 6, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginnings of bad pain." Do you hear me, somebody? That's why he's causing me to prophesy them. To tell Nairobi, if you don't repent, the buildings are going to shake on you. You'll have nowhere to go. No workplace to go. And at first they abused me. When they see Muwio, I'm a summer son away. They wrote everything. He is confused. Something must have gone wrong. Today I am here to make the point straight. Nothing went wrong. Only that the King of Kings, he called me. And when he called me, I left the water at the well at the sixth hour. When he called me, the water had come to fetch. I left and went to Samaria, and there is revival there. The water that people treasure, the water of the earth. Because I met the fountain of living water. Listen to me. These are bad pains. They are not just another news item on your TV, but they are signs to the church that now you should prepare, because the King is coming back soon. I have seen the rapture. That's why many countries, our calendar is full. Every country wants us to go. We heard about the wedding rings. Please come and tell us, we don't want to miss. Everybody wants to hear. Why? Because the signs are now here. Listen to something else. What did God speak to you, the university? Egerton University, Moi University here, Paraton, everybody that is here. What is God speaking to the university community by presenting the midnight clock? 1 hour, hallelujah, 1 minute to the midnight hour. What is the message? I want to finish with that one, okay? Now, let me tell you one thing. If you look carefully in the book of Exodus chapter 12, we are going to go there. First, focus on me. I'll read it to you. Exodus chapter 12. The Lord was preparing Israel for the midnight hour. Hallelujah. And he prepared them in a certain way. If the church can learn from that, she will be raptured. Exodus chapter 12, beginning verse 7 all the way. Let us read a few verses only. Don't read. Read at home everything. Precious people, you are blessed because, oh, how I wish that Oxford could listen to this. How I wish that, let me tell you, this is the most intelligent university on earth. Listen to me. The Nobel Prizes should be awarded to the professors of Egerton University. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. I have just proved to you that whether you go into drug discovery, finding new drugs, aerospace, medicine, let me tell you something, you cannot outmatch God. Those of you listening from Makerere, from Moi University, Kabarak, listen to me very good. The most educated and learned person on earth receives Jesus. Time has changed. Listen to me. Exodus chapter 12, I'm beginning from verse 7. How did the Lord prepare them for the midnight hour that never come to you? Look at what he says, somebody, verse 7. You can, first of all, verse 5, he says, the animal you choose must be year old male without defect. He's already talked about the sacrifice of the Passover lamb. And we know that our perfect Passover lamb is Christ Jesus. You are so blessed you listen to these messages on the radio. In Germany, when we presented the messages, the pastor had to listen for many hours in the night so he could preach it. They eat it like precious, just received it. Nobody else has it. But here, you tune the radio, you will hear it all the time. Ah, you people are blessed. Even Nairobi, on the other side, we don't hear. When I come to this side, my heart begins to overflow with joy. The joy of revival. The Lord was talking about the lamb without defect. When the midnight hour comes, you must make sure that you are prepared with the blood of the lamb without defect. That's what he was saying. Listen to what he says. Verse 7. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it at the sides, at the tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lamb. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over fire. Remember, roasted over fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roast it on fire. He goes on like that. Let me first stop there. He was preparing them for the midnight hour. And you see very clearly that the Lord had promised them in the next verse we're going to, that at the midnight hour he's going to strike the land with the judgment of the Lord. And that's why I could preach it to Indonesia, that every time it reaches midnight, the judgment of the Lord strikes the land. And 4 minutes past midnight, the massive 7.5 hit Jakarta. The Lord had to fulfill this word because it's a written word. Listen to me. He told them, when you are preparing for the midnight hour, hallelujah, listen to me, it is time to make sure that you have the blood of the Lamb covering you completely. He's telling the university, I know you are fighting to be centers of excellence. I know you are fighting for PhDs, bachelors, what, everything down the line, up the line. But I want you to know that the day of the rapture will change your life forever. On that day, first of all, let me tell you, on that day there will be no university to begin with. Number two, on that day the stock markets will crash. The economies of the earth will ground. On that day, global security will be hanging on a tricky balance. Why? Because the best police officers, who are faithful, who are Christians, who are loyal, will have been taken up. The best professors will have been raptured. The best students have been walking, they don't drink, They just read the word. God is helping them. Raptured. The best bank managers raptured. Many cars will be left on the road. As the cars are running, you pull them from the cars. It will take a few months to clear some streets like New York City, Paris, London, wherever. Months to tow away the cars. The owners are not there. The clothes are in the city. Accidents. How many flights will be flying and the pilot is raptured? The day of the rapture is the day university must prepare for. And that's why he says, make sure that you are covered by the blood of the Lamb, the perfect Lamb, the Lamb that is Jesus. Because at midnight, he's going to judge the gods of Egypt. Let me read it, Father, for you to finish. And something interesting, I'll give it to you. He says, verse 10, do not leave any of it. Verse 11, verse 12, okay. Look at what he says. Look at verse 11. This is how you are to eat the meat. You must have your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff on your hand. Eat it in a haste, because it is the Lord's Passover. Then he says, on the same night I'll pass through Egypt, and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I'll bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. Verse 13. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you, and no destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Let me summarize for you something here. Verse 29 here. Look at verse 29. Verse 29, it says, at midnight the Lord struck down the firstborn. Judgment struck. What is the Lord speaking to the church? The university. By presenting the clock that is 1 minute to midnight. In other words, he's saying, time out, prepare in a haste. You cannot even prepare sitting down anymore. Have your clothes tucked in your belt, sandals on, the staff ready anytime I am coming. And when the Lord comes at midnight, if he sees the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus covering you in the university, you'll be raptured into the glorious kingdom of God. And look at this, somebody. And tribulation will hit the earth. That's when the Antichrist will be here and you'll be forced to worship him. The Bible says if not, you'll be beheaded. They cut your head. So the Lord is saying there is no time to go on around doing Harambe's, which is a name of an Indian god, Harambe, with politicians around. It is time to prepare the church for the rapture. There is no time for running around looking for money, because you're going to, let me run around and go give some false prophets in America here, in Germany here, whatever here, so they may give me some foreign money, come exchange, buy a big car. He says we should prepare for the wedding of the Lamb. Because the treasure in the kingdom of God is more than the little pieces of gold you are seeing here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And listen to what he says here very clearly. He says, this is how they are to eat it. With bitter herbs. What does that speak to the church of Christ in the university? That means he's saying, for you that have separated, kutenganishwa, wateule, separated, I think. Separated. You that are waiting on the Lamb of God. This is the time to eat the bitterness of the earth. The rejection of the earth. Many will laugh at you. Oh, look at him. He has no girlfriend. Yes, there was such a thing in the university. Oh, look at him. His parents don't come driving to see him. Oh, look at him. He doesn't have many clothes. He doesn't go to the discos. He doesn't drink. He has no social life. He's always reading the Bible. This is the time to eat the bitter herbs. church he redeemed. 70 years. Let's say medicine increases your life so you have 100 years. Listen to me. When 999 trillion years have ended, the eternity has not even begun. Don't trade off your future for a mere small life. Use this life to build for eternity. The wages of sin is death. Let us stop sexual sin among the CU in the university. That's what the Lord is saying. Eat bread without yeast. Is that what he's saying? Preparing for the midnight hour? That now you must eat bread without yeast. Holy bread. Yeast is sin. Sexual sin, defilement, inflammation, inflation, swollen, overflow, swollen for nothing. Weightless, no weight. Everything down the line. He said, this is the time when you are supposed to feed on the bread without yeast, the bread that is the pure, holy word of God. So the members of Christian Union, this is the time to face the bitter rejection of the university community. And it's okay. And it's all right. Because on that day, you'll be proven right. The Christian Union, this is the time to remove the Ndombolo ya Yesu from CU meetings. There is no pleasure. It is bitter hard. The staff is ready, tucked in. Anytime he's going to snatch us into the wilderness, on the way right now into the promised land of the rapture. They see you, Christian Union. This is the time to stop lies as a Christian. Remember, Ananias and Sapphira lied. Don't look at the pastors that you see, maybe, but how come my pastor also lies? No, don't look at that. You're going to appear before Christ as a person. One single person. And he's not going to take your last. But where is your pastor? I need to take both of you. Run quickly. He'll take you alone if you're worthy, if you're holy, if you have a golden, glorious, powerful, radiant wedding gown. This is the time. By the way, even to face family rejection. By the way. It is a whole battery. It's all 9 years of rejection. You'll be rejected at work. Rejected in your dormitories or your halls of residence. Where you live, they might brand your name. He's reading so hard. And he's always praying. Get out of here with your prayers. Don't stop praying here all the time. You just say it's all right. My Lord sees everything that I'm going through. Blessed is that Christian who is preparing with bitter herbs in his mouth. Let me tell you something else. Jesus overcame the world, right? Did not enjoy the world. So how come you expect to enjoy as a Christian entering the rapture? This is the time for you to go to the university and tell the university pastors here, please, can we do a university week to reach out to more people? Hallelujah. Amen. Whatever it is that the Spirit will tell you. But now I want to come to something very critical. Let us go to the book of Matthew 25 as I finish. The same thing about the midnight hour. I can summarize it as you go there. Write it from verse 1 to verse 13. Listen to this. In Matthew 25, the Lord was speaking about the midnight hour. And he's talking about two churches. One church he likes and it symbolizes. He's using the virgins that are foolish, that have lamps without oil. Which means you have salvation, but you didn't receive the Holy Spirit. another church are five virgins who are wise. Remember the word wise? And then they are able to receive the Holy Spirit. So they have jars of oil. And they went out to wait upon the Lord for the midnight hour. Look at this now. When the midnight hour came, only the church that had the Holy Spirit was taken up into the wedding of the Lamb of God. And so, in other words, the church is telling the university community that Matthew chapter 25 verse 5 says the bridegroom was long time in coming and everybody became drowsy and sleepy. The Lord is saying that for a long time you have been very drowsy and sleepy as a Christian in the university. Some Christians in the university are underground Christians, undercover. That means you cannot confess openly. Someone tells you, praise the Lord. You say, Yes, yes, you pretend you're busy. Praise the Lord, yes. The Lord is saying, for a long time you've been asleep. Drowsy and sleepy, not walking in the vineyard of the Lord. In the same context, the students also. Of course, for professors, those days, it was a shame to be a Christian. Hallelujah. It was a real shame to be a Christian. But I'm here to speak my biography to you and tell you that in every aspect of my life, I saw God. Let me tell you, I saw the Lord. I had a unique relationship with Him, but I kept running away until finally caught up with me. At times, even praying, I am going to submit this paper for publication. Please, Lord, let it be accepted. Boop, accepted. I was like, wow, I don't deserve that. You can do better with the Lord Jesus in the university. Much better. You can write your research grant. The Lord will lead you. It will be funded. You can do the exams. The Lord will lead you. You pass exams. But now, He says, focus on the midnight hour. The midnight hour is near. And the Christian Union, you need to do 1 week of revival. Christian Union. For people to be infilled by the Holy Ghost. In other words, the message He gave here in Matthew 25 about the midnight hour is that you must be infilled with the Holy Ghost to see the kingdom of God. Listen to me, precious people. In the book of Matthew chapter 11, I just want to finish with that. I'm always finishing, right? Hallelujah. This is finishing like real, the last one now. You see? Don't run, grab my Bible, do something like that to ensure now it's done. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. He says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, incense called frankincense, and myrrh. When Jesus entered the earth, when He came to save you, He came to the world to show you the way. He entered by what? Look at this, somebody. They brought the wise men from the east, the Magi's. Remember, they were wise men from the east because they read the manuscripts of Daniel, of God that was prophesying in the east. Let us be mature. He's coming from mature pride, right? Daniel prophesied in the east, and Daniel was an end time prophet. That's why when the Lord called me, he put Daniel here. That's why he keeps giving me a lot of deep revelation about the end. I have seen most of the visions of Daniel. The rock that came and destroyed the statue, the rapturing of the dead, everything I've seen. They read the manuscripts of Daniel. And they knew the description of that star. So when they saw the star, they knew the Messiah had been born. But when they arrived, they put gold, frankincense, incense, and myrrh. What did that mean to you? That means Jesus entered and they spoke a language to him. They told him, the presence of God, God, the deity of God, the presence of God will be around you for all the days of your life as you walk this earth. And the frankincense and myrrh, myrrh is bitter. The bitter herb they were eating there, myrrh is bitter. You see, and your life as a servant of the Lord, as the Son of God, as the Redeemer, as a prophet of God, will be a bitter life, bitter like myrrh. Because myrrh purifies, you'll be living a life of purity, very pure, sinless, but it will be a bitter life. That's why they gave him myrrh. But that bitter life will present a fragrance, frankincense. A fragrance that will fill the throne room of the Lord God our Father in heaven. So he will be able to atone for the sins of all men on earth. Do you hear me, somebody? That is the synonym to the bitter meal, to the bitter herb you are supposed to eat. He entered with bitterness, living a life of purity, and he left. Let us read Job chapter 19:38. John 19:38. You will be surprised today. Hallelujah. I am finishing the last now. Hallelujah. John 19:38. Look at what he says here. Look at this. John 19:39. Jesus has been crucified. I have just shown you the entry of our Lord Jesus to show you the way and his exit. Look at that now. Here he says, verse 39, John 19. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who had earlier visited Jesus in the night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and alloy, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with spices, hallelujah, in strips of linen. He entered with myrrh, he left with bitter myrrh. He entered with bitterness, he left with bitterness. It defeats common understanding in the Bible. It defeats the revelation of the Holy Spirit for you as a Christian to always want to enjoy the world. That's why I'm surprised at the pastors and the bishops in this land, in many nations all over the earth. Where I go, they say, oh me, I want to enjoy. I want a big car. I want a big home. I want a fat check. Every Sunday, I want to bank almost half a kikapu of money. Every Monday morning, brother. They want to enjoy. They are not Christ-like. The two wedding rings are very identical. That means you have to be Christ-like to wear the ring Jesus will wear. If Jesus walked in bitterness, you will walk in bitterness. The Bible says, but don't look at me as if I'm strange. The Bible says we are Christ ambassadors. What does it mean, ambassador? I go to a lot of embassies. When I go to the embassy and I see the ambassador, I can see a mirror image of the king of that nation. You are supposed to be the mirror image of the kingdom of God, of Jesus. But has the Christian Union in Egerton University, has the Christian Union in Moi University, has the Christian Union in Kabarak, in Kisumu Polytechnic, in wherever, JKU, Kat, University of Nairobi, Daystar, it does not matter. Have they been the mirror image of Christ? The answer is no, right? Sexual sin has been highest among the Christians. Isn't it a shame? How come you did not receive the Holy Spirit to kill the flesh? That's why Nicodemus appeared with meal to finish the conversation they had in John chapter 3. When the Lord said, he said, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born again. And down there the Lord says, he that is born of the flesh gives back the flesh. He that is born of the Spirit gives back the Spirit. And here Jesus had just killed the flesh, and the Spirit had just been given back to the Spirit that now gives you hope to enter into the spiritual kingdom of God. That's why Nicodemus appeared here. So that means you need to crucify that flesh and cover it with bitter meal, spiritual meal, so you may see the kingdom of God. You need to look for preachers to the CU, preachers that when they preach, the next day the girls will get rid of their short miniskirts and slits. Listen to me. If you put the meeting hall for the CU here and the bar here where prostitutes come to be picked, listen to this, and you watch people entering both doors, you may have to turn around and ask, excuse me, now which is the bar? The dressing is the same. You cannot laugh. You are the image of Christ. The university is waiting for you. The professors in university. On one hand, you are a professor, a Christian professor. On the other hand, you are wooing girls. On the other hand, you are looking for students to give marks so they can give you sexual favor. One of the biggest weaknesses in university is sexual sin. Of the world, not by using human psychology for interpreting the Bible, by being like a child. Let me tell you one thing. When the Lord called me, he had to deconstruct me, deconstruct, which means destroy the construction that was in me that conformed to the world. Then he had to reconstruct me anew for his purpose. But let me tell you one thing. Our God is faithful. Even walking without salary, there is no day I fail to eat if I were not fasting. Listen to me. Even the countries he sends me to, there is no day I fail to get fed or rich. When he spoke with his disciples, and he said, you worry about what will I eat? What shall I wear? What shall I wear? Shall I sleep? What? Your Father in heaven, is there any day he has not provided? He meant it to the letter. Listen to me, somebody. The Lord is telling the church at the midnight hour to separate from the love of the world. Did you hear me, somebody? Let the Christian unions in Kenya be an example that Massachusetts Institute of Technology, the Oxford, Cambridge, Harvard, everybody, New York University, Chicago, whatever, it does not matter, will come to learn from the Kenyan universities. Let me tell you one thing. Where are the nations of the earth, the corner they have negotiated, the age, the difference, the sharp difference is going to come from the fear of the Lord. So if you are such a university I see here, and I see revival here, I see the whole, those of you in the millions listening by radio,